Amen. We're in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 18, where the Bible reads here, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." And the title of the sermon this morning is Make the Commission Great Again. Amen. Make the commission great again. Now, obviously, what does that phrase come from? It comes from that foolish phrase, make America great again, right? Right. But here's the thing is, people are so concerned with making this country great again. What do they mean by that? Well, they mean make it very powerful, make it very rich, and make it basically the ultimate power of this world. But you know what? That's not what God's concerned about. Amen. And the fact of the matter is, if you study history, America was great at one time, not because of the money, not because of their prosperity as far as finances are concerned. You know why it was great? Because it was the hotbed for the gospel preachers that are going out Amen. And getting people saved. It was a country that would send out missionaries all over the world, soul winners all over the world, and the preachers of America at one point were fiery, hot preachers. That's what made America great. Well, you know what we need today? We need to make the commission great again if you want to make America great again. Okay? Now, go to Luke chapter number 10, if you would. Luke chapter number 10. You see, this is important. And the fact of the matter is obviously we understand what the Great Commission is. It's basically preaching the gospel to every creature all over the world, every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That is the Great Commission. Amen. It's big. It's a big vision that God set forth before he went to heaven. Now we see here in Matthew chapter number 4, first and foremost, that Jesus Christ, while he was on this earth, he cast that vision constantly, didn't he? Amen. He was constantly saying, look, if you want to follow me, if you're going to follow me, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. What does that mean? He's basically saying, you're going to see a lot of people saved. Amen. Okay? You're going to go out there, you're going to fish for men, you're going to see people saved, you're going to make a huge difference. And look, they did. And in fact, look at Luke chapter 10, verse number 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So we see him casting vision in Matthew chapter number 4 and saying, hey, you'll be a fisher of men if you follow me. In Luke chapter 10, what do we see? 70 people being sent out. 70 soul winners going out, preaching the gospel, seeing people saved, preaching the kingdom of God to people. I mean, this is a great soul winning revival that we're seeing here in Luke chapter number 10. Now go to John chapter 21. Everyone's excited. Everything's going great. People are being saved. Everything's just fiery. Everything's great. You know, September 17th, FWBC LA starts. Everyone's soul winning, you know, they're preaching the kingdom of God and all these things. But what happens? Jesus Christ dies, right? And what do these disciples do? They go fishing. Look at Luke 21, verse 1. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto them, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Amen. So what do we see the disciples before Jesus Christ came on the scene? They're fishing for just regular fish. Jesus came, completely changed their perspective. Then they started laboring for the Lord. 70 people being sent out, a great work being done. Jesus Christ dies, and what happens after that? They go fishing. Not for men. Right. You know, and sometimes Christians are like that even today. There's nothing new under the sun. Right. Yeah. at one point you get excited. You're like, man, soul winning. We got the right gospel. We're seeing people saved. But what happens? A problem comes along. Okay, a little trial comes along. You get a little too busy, right? You get a little too busy. The cares of this world choke the word out of your heart. And guess what? Soul winning is not as exciting as it used to be. And what do? You go fishing. You go do something else. You start focusing on things that are important, but let me say this, not as important as the Great Commission. You know what you need to do? Make the commission great again. Amen. Make the commission great again in your personal life. Hey, Faithful Word Baptist Church of LA needs to make the commission great again.
Right.
You say, well, you know, I just been discouraged. You know, I've been fighting with my parents. Right? Or I lost my job or just trials and difficulties. Well, join the crowd. Who doesn't have problems? But you know what? When problems come, that's not an excuse for us to minimize the gospel in our personal lives. We need to make it great again.
Right.
Now, problems, everyone's going to have problems. But you know what? We need to make sure that we're balanced Christians, that we can deal with problems and still get the work of God done. Okay, but what do we have today? We have Christians, even churches, pastors even, that have gotten their focus off of the Great Commission. And what are they putting it on? On bus ministry, right? They're putting it on all these different ministries that aren't doing squat. They're not getting a whole lot done. You say, well, but they're working hard, but they're not getting anything done.
Right.
And you could disagree with that as much as you want, but the fact remains, I've seen it in my personal life, it doesn't get the job done.
Man.
You know what gets the job done? Following Christ and be a fisher of men. One-on-one soul winning. When a church gets fired up, they realize that there's a lost and dying world going to hell, and it's your responsibility to go out and give them the gospel. You know, it's not the bus worker's responsibility. It's not, visitation's not doing anything. Why don't you go visit a lost soul and give them the gospel instead? Why don't you make the commission great again? You see, in my personal belief, anybody who first gets saved, they do get excited about soul winning. Why? Because they just got saved themselves. You know, and they want to know how they can get their family saved and their friends saved. But you know, if they're not careful, over the course of a couple of months, yay, maybe even a couple of years, that desire begins to die down a little bit.
Right.
Okay? Maybe you get a little too puffed up because you start learning some Bible, or you just get a little lazy, a little huevón, which means lazy in Spanish. The word that we use very commonly while we're out in Mexico. Bunch of huevones. To those Baptists who are out there who aren't doing nothing.
Right.
Okay. And what happens? You stop making the commission great again in your life. You need to make it great again. You know? And you know, these old IFB churches, even if they didn't agree with us on a lot of these doctrines, as long as they would make the commission great again, hey, that would be great.
Right.
That would be awesome. You know, if they're doing the soul winning marathons and mission trips and seeing people saved, that would be amazing. They don't have to agree with us on everything, but you know what? If they're gospel preachers, amen.
Amen.
But that's not what's happening today, is it?
Right.
Okay. And look, just like these disciples, maybe at one point, they're fishers of men. Maybe at one point, they were doing great things and 70 people were going out. But you know what we have today as Christians? They're going to fishing. Okay. They're just going and doing the bare minimum, having a name, though as if they're living, but they're actually dead. Now go to Isaiah chapter 61, if you would. You say, why are you preaching this message? I just came back from Mexico. That's the first mission trip I've ever been on. You know, I've traveled to different places. I went to Mexico last year, but it wasn't as fruitful as this year. It wasn't necessarily a missions trip. This trip was one of the most fruitful trips I've ever seen. It was almost fake. You say, what do you mean by that? Because it's something that we don't see here.
Right.
Okay? Now, we see it here as far as people getting saved, but I'm talking about the receptiveness of the people. And it just reminded me why God told us, go into all the world. Because there's people out there who are very open to the gospel. And look, let me say this. This was real missions.
Amen.
I was a missionary for like 3 days.
Amen.
And I probably got more done in 3 days than most missionaries get done in 3 years.
Amen.
I'm talking about me. You're boasting. I'm just being honest.
Right.
Because in that missions trip, we saw as a group, and the numbers aren't even finished, at least 240 people saved.
Amen.
Well, how do you know all those people? Shut up! How do you know? Were you with me? Did you see me give the gospel? Well, how thorough were you? Well, you know what? You buy a plane ticket, you come with me next time, and we'll see how thorough I am. 240 people saved.
Amen.
And I'm talking about, we're being conservative. Pastor Anderson went out with, him and I went out, we preached the gospel together for those couple of days, and there's some people we prayed with, but we didn't count. I mean, we prayed with people, and it's just like, yeah, you know, but we're just not sure. The confirmations we got were like, these people understood. I mean, yet on Saturday, I'm going, my partner's giving the gospel, and I see a guy in the street, and I said, hey, I got a free DVD for you. And he said, I already got one. I said, okay, well, more important than that is knowing 100% sure that if you're to die today, you're going to go to heaven. He said, I'm saved.
Amen.
He said, I got saved yesterday.
Amen.
He said, a gringo told me yesterday about this.
Amen.
He says, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ already. What do you say? I said, okay. Gracias, you know?
Amen.
I'm talking about they're giving clear answers.
Yeah.
This is legitimate salvations right here.
Amen.
Okay? So before you, you know, what are you trying to say? This is real missions? Yeah, it's real missions.
Right.
It's real.
Amen.
And we had a stinking good time doing it too.
Amen.
You know, when we first got there, it was rough, to be honest with you, at first. Pastor Anderson and I went out, and it's just like, this looks bad. I'm with my boss, and we're not seeing anybody saved. And everyone's like, you know, 7, 8. And then he tells me, he goes, okay, you first, you know. And he goes, you're going to preach the gospel. I was like, all right, great. So I'm going there, and we gave the gospel to like 12 people fully, and they didn't get saved. And I'm like, man, this is bad, you know. This place is bad. And then Pastor Anderson goes, it's because we haven't had the tacos yet. He didn't even laugh. And I looked at him, I was like, okay, are you serious? He's like, necesitamos los tacos. And he was like, I guarantee you, once we eat the tacos, we're going to see people saved. I'm like, okay, yeah, you know. It happened. We ate tacos, and immediately afterwards, it was like one person after another getting saved. We didn't even finish our block. Because it was just, and we were zigzagging to different houses. It's just like, okay, all these are saved.
Amen. Wow.
Their households were getting saved.
Amen.
Mother, father, children, yay, cousins were getting saved.
Amen.
It was amazing. You know? What is that? That's making the commission great again.
Amen.
You know, and maybe you're sitting here thinking, you know, I just lost faith that the gospel works. Well, you know what? You need to get that faith back.
Amen.
And the way you get it back is by renewing your vision for the gospel, for soul winning. Recognize it works. And look, maybe you give the gospel to 12 people last week and no one got saved. Well, you know what? Eat some tacos.
Amen.
And get back at it again.
Yep.
Right.
Because it works. It works. And it was just like, we just had to prime the pump, is what it was, with tacos. And then, boom, we're seeing people saved left and right. Look at Isaiah 61, verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. You know what people need? And you know why people aren't getting people saved? Because they're not spirit-filled. I'm not saying you're not seeing people saved. You know, you give the gospel to 9 people, you don't see people saved. I'm talking about they're just not even doing it. You know why? Because they're not spirit-filled.
Amen.
You say, oh, well, are you just trying to say you're spirit-filled? Yeah.
Amen.
Not because I'm anything special, but because I prayed. God, please. I remember going back, and I was in the restroom when after that first part of the soul winning, and I said, God, please. I came out here because I want to see people saved. You know, I'm not perfect, but can you please fill me with your power?
Amen.
I want to see someone saved.
Amen.
And it was just like, God was just like, that's what I was waiting for.
Amen.
Boom. The commission was great again.
Good.
You know, maybe what you need is just some time in prayer and say, God, can you please? I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. You know, I have my flaws and my failures and I mess up, but can you please fill me with your power and your spirit? Because I want to see someone saved.
Amen.
You know, God can use anybody.
That's right.
Anybody. Obviously, he won't use a prideful, arrogant person or a lazy person. But he'll use the person who says, please use me. I just want to be filled with your power and your spirit. I want the commission to be great again in my personal life.
Amen.
Look, go to Ezekiel chapter 34. The Spirit of the Lord is what we need. We need that power to go out and preach the gospel. And look, you're saved.
Amen.
You know, saved people are the only people that can get people saved.
Right.
So you got that down if you're saved. All you got to do is, number one, pray for God to fill you with the Spirit. Number two, just go out and do it in faith. Amen. Look at Ezekiel 34 and verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease ye have not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Isn't it in stark contrast to what we read in Isaiah? You see, someone who's spirit-filled preaches the gospel, and guess what? They bound up the brokenhearted. That's what the gospel does. They heal people. But you know what? The shepherds of Israel, i.e. Christians of today, because they're not spirit-filled, they're just feeding themselves and they're not getting the job done.
Right.
We need to have a church atmosphere where the most important thing, obviously, is the preaching of the Word of God. But you know what? Synonymous with that is this, the Great Commission, going out and soul winning.
Amen.
Don't be a lazy, dead Christian. You know, if you feel like you need a little umph in your Christian life, go do some soul winning.
Amen.
You know, tenderize your heart again. Let it burn within you again. I know things come up. I know fights come up. I know there's trials and difficulties that come up, but get over it.
Amen.
Get back on your feet and go preach the gospel again. Make it great again. And look, once you start doing that, all the other things just kind of seem very small in comparison to the salvation of a lost person.
Yeah.
Right.
It's amazing. I mean, so we're out preaching the gospel there, and, you know, we didn't even get to finish our block because there's so many people walking, and at one point, there's one house that we were trying to go to, but every time we would go to it, people would come, we'd give them the gospel, they'd get saved. And then we try to get to the house, and we spent like over an hour there trying to knock that one door we couldn't knock.
Amen.
It was crazy. And this one guy walks up, and he's like on a mission, he's going somewhere. And I say, hey, I got a free movie for you. Which, by the way, they're like, ¿qué pasó, qué pasó, qué pasó? You know, they're like, when they hear free, it's just like, you know. And I gave it to him, and I was like, do you have 5 to 10 minutes? Can I show you from the Bible how to get to heaven? And he's like, yeah. You know? And so I start giving him the gospel, and the guy gets saved. He was stuck on repenting of your sins for a while. Gave him some more verses, and then he just believed it.
Amen.
And he ended up getting saved, and it was cool. His name is David. And I said, all right, well, it's funny because, you know, I'm there with Pastor Anderson. Pastor Anderson, he's not the type to just stand there and just watch you. He'll just sit down and just, like, drink water and just, like, kind of, like, looking around, you know. And I said, do you have any questions? And he said, yeah, what's up with baptism? I said, yeah, you need to get baptized right now. And he said, and I explained to him what baptism was. I said, so basically, I can baptize you right now. I said, you want to get baptized right now? And he said, yeah, let's go. I said, okay, we're going to do baptisms. I said, and then Pastor was like, I guess the hotel. But we hadn't even registered in the hotel yet. We didn't get our rooms or nothing. So I said, okay, so this is what I told him, this is what we're going to do. We have to walk back to our van, I said. So you want to walk with us? You don't have to change. I'll just baptize you like that. And he's like, okay. So we walk all the way back to our van, get in the car, then we drive all the way back to the hotel, you know, and he's sitting there, and I get out, and I said, all right, we're going to baptize you. And he got baptized. So he gets baptized, and you guys saw the video, I'm sure. The guy, that's the guy who got baptized. So we told another soul winning group about it, and they're like, wow, that's praise the Lord, you know. So they go back to their area, and they never met the guy. So that group comes back and he goes, I met the guy that you baptized. He's like, because we dropped him off at his house. And he goes, we're walking down the street and there's a guy walking towards us with the biggest smile on his face. He's like half wet. He has Después de la Tribulación right with him. And he's just like, and I was like, hey, can we give you this DVD or whatever? And he's just like, I got saved right now. He goes, and I just got baptized. And they're like, oh, you're the guy. He's like, man, we heard about you. And he's like, yeah. He's like, man, I'm excited, you know? And the guy was telling me, he goes, his smiles were from like ear to ear. Happy as the day is long that he just got saved and baptized. Amen. Make the commission great again.
Amen.
You know, and sometimes we think, you know, I mean, God tells us to baptize them after they get saved.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
But sometimes we're like, well, you know, I just don't want to, you know, kind of put that in there because we're just out there preaching the gospel. He told us to do it.
Amen.
And guess what? He got baptized the same hour.
Amen.
That hour he got baptized.
Amen.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. This is reality here.
Amen.
You know, this is the book of Acts right here.
Amen.
We're seeing it happen. And look, there's people out there that are like, oh, they call me a preacher of hate. And look, let me just say this. I don't deny that for one second.
Amen.
You know, people think they insult me when they call me a preacher of hate. Oh, you're just a preacher of hate. I'm like, yeah. I mean, you got it right. Yeah. I'm glad you recognize that. That means I'm doing my job right. If you think I'm a preacher of hate. But you know what? What I disagree with, if you only think that I'm only a preacher of hate.
Right.
Okay. There's a guy who went on the trip. But let's read this real quick. I got a lot of stories I got to tell you, right? 1 Corinthians 9:14 says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Hey, we're dispensationalists.
Amen.
Because a dispensation of the gospel has been committed unto us.
Amen.
To dispense the gospel also. But we're the real dispensationalists.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? There's a guy, and look, back to the point of being loving and hateful. That's garbage when people say that. There's a guy, I can't remember his name, Valerian. I think it's Valerian from Faithful Word. He's from Africa. Okay? This guy speaks English and French. You know who I'm talking about, right? He speaks English and French. He learned Spanish to go win Mexicans in Mexico. Let me say this. That's love.
That's right.
That's real love. So any old eye of beer that criticizes the way we do things, well, go ahead. Why don't you learn a language of some foreign people that you don't even know? Buy yourself a plane ticket and go win 250 people to the Lord then. But this guy has enough love in his heart to learn a language to go reach people on the other side of the world.
Good.
That's love.
Amen.
Not stinking, oh, I'm called to the mission field. But you don't even have the stinking discipline or the gall to learn the language.
Right.
You know, Brother Jonathan Shelley, okay, which Brother Jonathan Shelley, he's white. But he can fit into, I think it's Sinaloa. Where are those white Mexicans are at? Sinaloa? Is it Sinaloa? I mean, they're white, blonde hair, blue. I mean, he could fit in that criteria. This guy learned Spanish in 6 months.
Amen.
Okay? 6 months! You know why? Because he's starting a church in August. And you know what's the area he's going to? Houston. You know what's there? Hispanics!
Amen.
So because he loves people, he's learning Spanish so we can win them to Christ.
Amen.
That's love.
Amen.
So yeah, call us hateful if you want, but you know what? Are you learning Spanish? Old IFB? Critical Christian? Are you learning a language so you can reach people, so you can better communicate with them and give them the gospel? Don't tell me that we're just hateful if you're not getting your butt out there learning a language to go reach someone that you've never ever met in your whole life. Enough love to pay up your own plane ticket, learn a language to win people to Christ. 6 months, that's amazing. I mean, he speaks it like a white guy, don't get me wrong. You know, but he speaks it. And he won his first people to the Lord in Spanish in Mexico. And we told him, like, man, if you can win Mexicans in Mexico, for sure you're going to win Mexicans in the United States. Amen. Guaranteed. You know, but that's love. That's true love right there. Okay. And look, we're not saying we're godlier than anybody. But you can't accuse us of not having love. Yep. We love people. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. The Bible says here in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I just don't know what ministry to be a part of. Right here. The ministry of reconciliation. I don't know what I'm called to do. The ministry of reconciliation. Amen. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And no, that doesn't mean giving out an invitation. Amen. Only. God. Not just... Nice. I'm all for giving invitations, right? We give out invitations. We give out invitations if someone's in a rush or they're not willing to listen. But you know what? We don't just depend on giving out invitations. Right. Our main objective is to get that person saved.
Amen. That's right.
Okay? The invitation is to give them something so we have common ground. The common ground is this. I have something that I want to give to you for free and you want something free. Right?
Amen.
Hand it off. We give them the gospel. But guess what? The track's not going to witness to them.
Amen. Right.
You know, I was hearing about stories on the road where we're out there of pastors saying that garbage. Right. Yeah. They're over saying, well, you know, the gospel track is what's going to preach to them the gospel. Does that thing have life? You know, no, God has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Okay? Amen. Jesus Christ emphasized the Great Commission over and over again, actually. Over the the 40 days where he revealed to himself to the disciples, he actually gave the commission at least four times. Okay? He gave it in John chapter 20. Go to John chapter 20. And I'm saying this just to show that, you know, we need to hear it over and over again. You know, in those 40 days, obviously he taught many things, but you know what? He emphasized the gospel over and over again. He didn't just give the Great Commission right before he left and say, hey, just go preach the gospel to every creature. Peace. No, he said it more than once in different ways. So as he was teaching, he was telling them, hey, go preach the gospel to every creature. You know why? Because we don't listen the first time. He said, why do you keep giving the same announcements every single week? Because you don't listen. That's why. You don't listen. Okay? We print out the paper. I spent an hour designing this for you. You know, I put them on there so that you remember. So that you don't come afterward and say, hey, so when is the soul winning marathon? It's like, here. Get it tatted. Because you don't remember. Okay? But he's telling them over and over again, right? And in different ways. Look what it says in John chapter 20, verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. By the way, this is in Jerusalem behind closed doors. This is the first time the Great Commission was given. Thomas wasn't there at that time. Verse 19 says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. He said, well, how is that the gospel? Because what did God send the Son to do? To seek and to save that which is lost. Yeah, that's right. So as he's sending the Son to seek and to save that which is lost, guess what we're doing? We're seeking and we're saving that which is lost.
Amen.
Go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. This is basically like a parallel passage. Happens about 8 days after. Luke 24, verse 44. Luke 24, 44 says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." So we see here the same thing. And he's saying repentance. He's like, well, see, they repent of sin. It doesn't say repent of sins. It says repentance and remission of sins.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, when we go out there, they do have to repent.
Amen.
They have to repent of what they're trusting in.
That's right.
And trust in Christ. Amen. And maybe it's their good works. They have to repent of trusting in their good works, right? To go to heaven and trust in Christ.
Right.
But the fact remains, he says, preach in his name among all nations. You see, missions today has become a glorified vacation. And people who want to claim to be missionaries, but you know what they're doing? They're going all over the world, inspiring people, right, to preach the word of God when they should be doing it themselves.
Amen.
Real missions is for you to preach and win those people to the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Not to have a glorified vacation and do discipleship. You know, I'm all for discipleship, but you know what? Preach the gospel. And if you want to really disciple someone, you bring someone along with you as you're preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Go to Mark chapter 16. This is the second time that he mentions it. So he says, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." And he's talking to every individual. No one is exempt from this. And don't ever get this attitude where it's like, well, you know, in a month when I'm ready. No, go now.
Amen.
Okay? And look, this is the best way to break the ice. And this is how we do it in our church. You are a silent partner for a while. Watch someone else do it for a while. Watch someone do it, observe them, and when you are ready, you can do it yourself. But you need to go. And look,
Amen.
Being a silent partner is great because guess what? You get the rewards of the person who's preaching the gospel.
Yeah,
because right. You're laboring with them. So you get some freebies for a while. You know? Because you're laboring with them. As you're going out there, you're praying, you're helping your soul winning partner out, you're helping with the distractions. God's going to reward you too.
Amen.
So these are like freebies for us, right? Because you're not necessarily putting in the work to preach the gospel, but because you're helping the laborer preach the gospel, you're getting the rewards. Amen. That is sweet.
Amen.
You know, that should encourage you and say, hey, look, you should take this sale now while it lasts. You know, if you're afraid, then go ahead. Okay, still go. You're still going to get rewarded as if you're the one preaching the gospel because you're laboring with your partner.
Good.
Be a silent partner. Go out and learn. And look, people on this mission trip learn Spanish to go preach the gospel. You already know English. As far as I know, everyone knows English here, right? You already know it. So guess what? It's easier for you to learn it now, okay? The gospel. Look at Mark 16, verse 14. "Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat," verse 14, "and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned," the Bible says. When it's talking about creatures, talk about creation, us, people, is what it's talking about. It's not talking about animals. Okay, he says, look, this verse 16 goes to show you the emphasis that he's putting on baptism. Okay, because he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He said, "Whoa, are you saying that baptism saves?" No, because later on he says, "He that believeth not shall be damned." He doesn't include baptism, but he does include baptism in the first part. You know what that means? That God wants you to baptize people after they get saved. And look, we need to start implementing this into our gospel presentation after they get saved. Not just like, all right, God bless. See ya. No, why don't you take it a step further and say, hey, okay, now that you're saved, according to the Bible, you need to get baptized. Why did I just don't want to offend anybody? You just told them they were going to hell. How much worse can I get after that? You told them, hey, you're lake of fire, you're going to have your part in the lake of fire. And you think you're going to offend them by telling them they need to get baptized? You're weird if that's what you think. That's like the worst thing you can tell them is that they're going to hell. Right? Well, after they get saved, say, okay, well, now that you're saved, and look, ye have not because ye ask not.
Right?
Right? I just don't think, well, have you asked them? And look, what's the worst that can happen? They say no. You say, no, I'm okay. All right. Well, I just want to let you know that that's what you need to do next. That's your first step of obedience after salvation. Because we want to let you know. And the worst that can happen is they say no. But you need to start implementing this into your gospel presentation after they get saved.
Amen.
Okay? Make it a habit to teach them what the Bible says about baptism. And look, it's going to take some extra effort and some extra work to do that. Because if your mind is programmed to only give the gospel, which is good, you know, there's another step you got to add into that, and that's getting them baptized. And look, we're the church where we'll baptize at any time.
Amen.
You know? And look, I'll take it a step further because I was inspired on Wednesday. I was talking to Pastor Anderson, and he was telling me, he was showing me some awards that he got while he was at House Anderson. He's like, check out this award that I got while I was at First Baptist Church. And it was the most baptisms for that month. You know, they're having a program, which goes to show that he was with the program of his church when he was there. Okay. And side note here, we need to be with the program of the church.
Amen.
But he was getting all kinds of people baptized. And he said that the pastor got up and said, all right, we're doing a new thing. Now, I don't know if we'll take it this far, okay, but this is pretty good. And he said, if you get someone saved at any hour of the day, including midnight, whenever, and they want to get baptized, we will have someone on the property that can baptize them. Doesn't matter what hour of the day it is. Pastor Anderson took it literally. And he was working I think he was working third shift. He won someone to the Lord at his job 2 days afterwards. And then he showed him in the Bible where it says that same hour that he was baptized. And he goes, you need to get baptized. And the guy said, all right, let's go. So he's like, I got a place where you can get baptized at any hour of the day. So he goes to First Baptist Church and he goes to the security guard. He's like, hey, I got a guy here who wants to get baptized. He's like, are you serious? He's like, yeah. So they had to call like a deacon, you know, and get him out of bed and stuff. And he's like, hey, this guy, and the guy literally came, and you can tell like the guy was just, he had just woken up. But they baptized him.
Amen.
And the church was ecstatic, like, yeah, we had our first baptism like 1-2 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
I don't know if we'll take it to that extreme, because I probably won't answer you if you call me. No baptism. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? We're not just subject to baptisms on Sundays and Thursdays. Okay? If someone gets saved and look, it's a reasonable time and I'm close by or something, I'm close by anyways. I'm in Montebello. And you call me and say, hey, this person wants to get baptized right now, I'll say, all right, fill her up, I'll be right there.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
If someone gets saved this afternoon and wants to get baptized, come back, fill her up, and say, hey, Brother Bruce, someone's getting baptized, I'll come back and we'll baptize them. Why not?
Yeah.
It should be. It's a part of the Great Commission.
Right.
So let's take it a step further. You know how you make the commission great again? Is by doing it all.
Yeah.
And we already got the teaching all things whatsoever God's commanded us. We're preaching the Bible right now.
Amen.
Why don't we add some baptisms to that?
Good,
you know, there's, I'll give you some other stories in just a bit. Go to Matthew 28. This is the third time. So this is when they're sitting at meat and they're in Galilee. Matthew 28. Verse 16 says, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, other versions of the Bible, including the Reina Valera 1960, that garbage translation of the Spanish Bible, will translate verse 19 as go ye therefore and make disciples.
Right.
Because they want to say, well, teach is not. And I've had supposed King James only people say, yeah, teach all nations, a better rendition would be disciples, because that's what you're doing, you're teaching them. No, the teaching is in verse 20 when you're discipling them, teaching them to observe all things. The teaching in verse 19 is the gospel. Because you know what you do when you go out there and preach the gospel? You're teaching them that they're sinners, that they deserve hell, that Jesus Christ died for them according to the scriptures. You're teaching them those things. Okay, but they want to say make disciples. Well, you know what? Becoming a disciple, to be a disciple, you have to obey the commandments of God. Amen. You have to observe all things. Right. That's what a disciple is. That's not what salvation is. You know, I don't care how many Spanish churches use the Reina Valera 1960. I don't care how for how long they've used it for. It's a garbage translation. Amen. Along with the NIV, NKJV, and all those HIV perversions.
Amen.
The Reina Valera 1960 is a devilish Bible.
Amen.
You know, and then you got pastors. How can you say, don't you know that all the churches, including the Pentecostals, including the Catholics, use this version of the Bible? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, you got that right. Thanks for proving my point.
Yeah.
Don't you know we've used it for so many years? So what? So just because it was used for so many years, we just overlook the fact that it tells us to work our way to salvation. You know, when the Bible talks about desiring the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow into salvation, because it says that. That's stupid. This is a rabbit trail, but I like the rabbit we're looking at, and we're going to skid in and kill it. The Reina Valera 1960 is a garbage translation. And let me say this, don't bring that garbage Bible into our church.
Amen.
If you bring it into our church, you show it to me, I'll ask for it, and I'll throw it in the trash.
Right.
You say, what version do you use? Well, I personally use the Reina Valera Gomez. And any version before that, like the 1909, it's an okay translation, the 1602, etc. But the 1960 is the devil's Bible. Put that on YouTube. Put that on Instagram. Send it to your stupid Spanish pastors who are not willing to humble themselves and change that Bible.
Amen.
It's a garbage translation. It says teach all nations, not make disciples. And look, I'm not against making disciples. It's necessary.
Amen.
You know, we need to learn how to teach other people and get them into church and baptize them. Okay, we need to teach them how to go soul winning, how to live a holy life. We need to befriend them and love them and be kind to them and teach them the things of the Lord. But you know what? They need to get saved first.
Amen.
And they don't get saved by becoming a disciple.
Right.
Go to Luke 24. But that's anyways. So that's the third time it was mentioned. Okay. Obviously, he's emphasizing this point quite a bit because it's important. And mind you, this is within the 40 days after his resurrection.
Right.
Okay? Look at Luke 24. I'm sorry, don't go to Luke 24. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This is the fourth one. Verse number 1 says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And by the way, on this Reina Valera 1960, you know, I find it interesting that there's Spanish pastors who have Spanish ministries from an English church. They use a 1960, but their church is a King James only church. So you know what these English pastors need to do? Why don't you scrutinize the Bible that they're using? Because you wouldn't accept an NIV. You wouldn't accept any church leader in your church to use an NIV or a New King James. So why are you permitting for them to use the 1960 that reads just like those books in Spanish? You know, you need to scrutinize and say, hey, that teaches a works-based salvation. You need to change that. Well, I don't want to change it. Then you're fired.
Amen. Right.
Leave if you don't want to change that. But you know, it's all about the money.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 1. Where was I? Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passions by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And of course, later on, he's taken up in a cloud. Okay, this is actually the last time he gives the commission. Very clear.
Yeah.
I mean, can we tell from these four times that he mentioned it that it's important?
Yeah.
You want to tell him? Make the commission great again.
Amen.
In your personal life. Forget making America great again.
Amen.
Forget your money. Forget your prosperity dreams. Make the commission great again.
Amen.
Make it important to you again. Make it real to you. Go to Acts chapter 2. Verse number 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, they weren't saying hala shalabala and a six-pack dollar. I bought a Nissan, I should have bought a Honda. They weren't saying that.
That's right. Amen.
I don't care what Pentecostals say.
Amen.
Halalalala. You know, that's not tongues.
Amen. Amen.
Tongue is this thing that you have in your mouth that you use to speak languages with.
Amen.
Okay? So what's going on here? It is a miracle. Because the Holy Ghost is coming upon them to preach the word of God in their languages. Okay?
Amen.
You say, is that still evident today? Not in this manner, but it is still evident. Because someone who's spirit-filled can learn another language if God has given them the ability to do so. And guess what? As they're filled with the Spirit, they can win people to Christ. I saw this take place in Mexico. Okay, where people who are from Canada, Africa, Argentina, and different portions of the world came to Mexico speaking Spanish and winning tons of people to the Lord. Look what it says in verse number 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man, every white guy and gringo and African, heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak gringos? Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya around Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter standing with, by the way, we weren't filled with new wine, but we were filled with tacos, okay? But Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I saw that done this week.
Amen.
Prophesying, dreaming dreams and vision. What was the vision? To see people saved.
Amen.
That we can go there and see a great work. And let me say this. You guys, we need to go on a mission trip.
Amen.
A real one.
That's good, right?
You need to plan one out. We need to do it. It needs to be done.
Amen.
The stories that I'm going to tell you, you'll believe them, but you don't really believe them until you're there and you see it for yourself. Because I heard these stories, and it's just like, okay, you know, I'm sure we'll see a lot of people saved. But when you have 12-year-olds and I'm telling him, hey, can I give you the gospel? And he just throws his bike and says, yeah. Give me. He didn't. Even, he disregarded everything he had just to listen to what I had to say. That's amazing. You know, the go to Acts chapter 8. There's the ladies in our group, they for like a day and a half, they could not leave one house. Yeah. Because they kept seeing people saved in that one house. Moms, dads, sisters, brothers, cousins, they couldn't leave that one house. They'd come back the next day and more people would get saved in that house. It's amazing. And then that same household, you know, we're like looking for them. Like, where were these girls? Man, they got kidnapped. It's Mexico. They got kidnapped. You know, hey, they're saved though. I'm just kidding. You know, and finally we found them and they had a group with them and they said, hey, they want to get baptized. You know, a mom by the name of Veronica and her two children. And I said, all right. So we went and we baptized them. And then, you know, it was already lunchtime. So we're about to drop them off, and then Pastor Anderson said, just bring them with us. Let's go all eat. And I said, ¿quieren comer tacos? And they're like, yeah. So we all went, talk about Acts, okay? Because they believed, and what were they doing afterwards? Breaking bread, fellowship, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. He said, how is that? Because we gave them the YouTube channel.
Amen.
Escucha el canal, hermana. Aquí están las predicaciones. You know, here's the preaching right here in Spanish. And then now they're on the Facebook and I heard there, you know, there are the groups. Maybe, I don't know, that's not a good idea. I'm just kidding. You know, they have everything. Now they have all the material. We're friends with them now. We have their information. She just so happens to have family right here in Hacienda Heights.
Amen.
You know, that she's going to contact. Amazing. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Skip down to verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. And in humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said, answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet? Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So we're there, right? And, okay, so I can't, all the events are out of order. So I'm going to give you what I remember. So we're there and we see some young girls, like three young girls. I go over there, give her a DVD, start giving her the gospel. And she's kind of like not paying attention. You know, she's just kind of looking around. And I really didn't think she was listening. And look, I'm of the bent, and look, I'm not saying this is what you need to do, but I do this, and I saw Pastor Anderson do this, and I think it's a very good idea. If they're not paying attention, bye.
Yeah, right.
You know? Instead of like trying to argue doctrine and just trying to get, look, if they're not getting it, just move on. Because
right.
Not only is your time valuable, your energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It takes work to give the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tiresome. So I was just like, all right, bye. So I said, okay, well, just want to leave you John 3:16. I left her with that, and I was like, see you later. God bless. And I left. Well, the next day, I'm giving the gospel to a lady across the street because we couldn't even get past that street, and she ended up getting saved. While I was getting her saved, Pastor Anderson gave a DVD to a guy walking by. He grabbed it, and he said, thank you, but he just kept walking, and he was actually the neighbor. So we get to that house, but we didn't know that that's where he lived. We knock on the door, and he comes out. Well, I just want to give you. He's like, yeah, you just gave me one. And he goes, oh, okay, great. And he's, Pastor Anderson said, you know, more important than that. And he gives him the question. And then of course, he doesn't know, and he's willing to listen. And he goes, wait. He opens the door, and he goes, come in. We go in, and he said, my wife is reading the Bible right now. You know, can you come tell her what you're telling me? Can you tell us both?
Wow.
It's like the eunuch, you know. He's like, I don't understand what I'm reading here. He goes, we're trying to understand the Bible, but we don't understand the Bible. So we sit there, and we get them saved. Now, by the way, so here in the United States, if Pastor Anderson or anybody says, you know, I got 10 kids, and people are like, what in the world? You're psycho? Are you crazy? 10 kids? Not in Mexico.
Right.
He's over here like, yeah, I got 10 kids. And they're just like, you know, they're just like, whatever about it. That's like minimum over there, okay? Bare, that's like base number over there. No one reacted to that.
Right. Good.
Everyone was just like, whatever about it. They both get saved. They both get saved, they're ecstatic, and they're very thankful, very grateful people. So we walk out, we find two teenagers that Pastor Anderson is witnessing to, and then I find another lady that I'm witnessing to. She gets saved, but before she gets saved, I'm talking to her, and the girl from yesterday, who wasn't paying attention, she's walking down the street, and she sees us, and she comes up. She just completely makes a left turn to go towards us, and she stands next to the lady listening. And I'm kind of like, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm just going to talk to this lady. Well, as I'm asking the lady the questions, the girl starts answering the questions. Hell, everlasting life, can't lose it. So then I start talking to them both, and they both get saved.
Amen.
Well, guess who that girl was? She was the daughter of those people that Pastor Anderson got saved who were reading the Bible. Because she goes in, and I was like, you live here? She goes, yeah, these are my parents. Thou and thy household. Amazing. And then their neighbor got saved. It was just one thing after another. But this is the book of Acts right here. Amen. Taking place. Go with me if you would to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verse number 9 says, in a vision appeared to Paul in the night, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Go to Acts chapter 20. We'll read the scripture and then I'm going to finish with one last story. Acts chapter 20, verse 25 says, and now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 days or years, days for us, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. And by the way, every time we talk to someone in Mexico, their perspective of Christianity were people who wanted money.
Right.
That's what they would tell us. Look at verse 34. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and wept and fell upon Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Very touching story right there. Well, the last day that we were there, my friend from Canada, this lady goes into her driveway and she's getting in. She looks like she's in a hurry. And he goes, and he, you know, I go, hey, can I give you this DVD for free? He just says, can I give you the gospel? And she was like, sure, yeah. She leaves her door open. Well, we didn't know that her son had actually the day before had gotten saved by one of the people in our group. Gotten that guy saved. And she heard about it. Because her son was like a troublemaker, and she heard him, and she was like, wow, you know, he's excited about the fact that he got saved. So that's actually what kind of motivated her to listen to what my partner had to say. So he's witnessing to her, and that kind of just gave him a space. And I was actually during that time making an Instagram report of what I was doing. And I'm like, yeah, it's going great here. You know, and it only gives you like a couple seconds you can talk. So it stops, and a girl walks up, and I say, hey, can I give you a DVD for free? And she goes, yeah. And I said, you know, can I give you the gospel and stuff like that? And she listens, she gets saved. And I report that on the Instagram if you saw that. Well, that ended up being her daughter. These families are big in Mexico. She gets saved. Of course, the son got saved the day before. And then the mom is about to get saved. The mom gets saved. And I go up and he tells me, he goes, yeah, she just got saved right now. And I said, man, congratulations. What a blessing. And she goes, can I have a Bible? And he said, yeah, of course. And we give her a Bible. Actually, he gives her his own Bible, like leather-bound Bible. It was the last door. It was the last one. And we had to leave after that. This is the last salvation. And then she grabs it, and with tears in her eyes, she goes, when are you coming back? You know, and it's just like, I look at my partner, he looks at me, and we're just like, and we just said, we'll be back. And tears in her eyes, she says, when are you coming back? What do you say? Yeah. And I just said, you know, we'll come back. Yeah. I said, we promise we'll be back. Amen. Promise. And, you know, I talked to Pastor Anderson about that, and he said, we got to come back.
Amen. Amen.
He says, we got to come here at least twice a year. You know, because it's so open. And she has tears. She goes, and she said, she says, I just want to thank you so much. My son saved. My daughter got saved. I got saved. Please come back. What do you say to that? You know, and it just reminded me of that story. Because people are weeping and they're just like, we're never going to see him again. But you know what? These people can see us again.
Good.
We can go back. Good. Make the commission great again.
Amen.
You know, if you want to be a pastor one day, amen. If you want to be an evangelist one day, amen. If you want to just be a regular church member one day, amen. But more than that, just make the commission great again.
Amen.
Let's get out there and see people saved. You know, and look, you don't have to wait to the next mission trip to go. You can do it this afternoon.
Amen.
Okay, we can see people saved today. What's the message today? The message is simply this. You know, soul winning is the biggest responsibility we have. And these people who at one point, these 240 people were going to go to hell. And these people who are despised and rejected went there, they gave them the gospel, they got saved. It can happen. Because these people placed a priority on that. Let's put a priority once again on soul winning. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the Great Commission. Help us as individuals make it great again. And God, I'm thankful for those 240 people that were saved. I pray that, Lord, you give us the opportunity to go back and see more people saved there. There's a lot more people, children, husbands, and wives that need the gospel. And I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, but not just there. This is our Jerusalem, and we're responsible for this area. Help us to take it serious. Help us to realize that each and every one of us has to do our part. And I pray, God, that you'd use us to do so. Please fill us with your power, with your spirit, to do a great work for thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.